Welcome back to Cognac and Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we are back for another week. And you all, it has just come to our attention that our episodes have not been uploaded. Yeah. So thank you for our listeners for letting us know. But when you listen to this episode, you might get this episode along with like two other episodes. Yeah. We don't know quite how that happened or what's happening, but I'm going to fix it. You know, just a little technical difficulty. Don't worry about it. But all the episodes are there. We were recording them. I don't know. Something went awry along the way. So sorry about that, you guys. But if you get this episode and then you get multiple other ones with it, then that's
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's why. So we're just gonna put, because shit, we already recorded them. They gonna get released. Shit, I don't care if it's past the week. So they gonna go up.
It's weird because like right now we haven't even figured it out. So part of me is like, I hope they even hear this announcement. Because we're still troubleshooting.
I was like, what is happening? But when I found out, this was like late at night, and then you know I have a full-time job, you guys, so you know I didn't have quite as much time. I did go in there and look, but I don't quite know exactly what happened. So I'll have to take the time to figure out exactly what happened, and then we can get this road back on the show back on the road. But yeah, sorry about that, you guys, but I'm blown, because I'm like, damn, now that's doing all this work and this shit didn't post.
That's what I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Like, I was like I literally went to sleep early and I woke up at like 3 a.m. And I was like, oh no. Like, literally. I was like, that can't be at all.
But shout out to y'all. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Jay's turn this week.
Okay.
Girl, you know I thought it was my turn. And I had started preparing
the
episode.
I did it all the time.
I had started preparing the episode and everything. But the upside to that is I have one for next week. But I thought it was my turn. And then I was like, pause, I'm off the hook.
Good for you. I feel like I literally sometimes wake up in like a cold sweat and I'm like, it's my week. And like, I didn't start, and it's not my week.
Yeah.
It's hard because we don't have like a calendar or anything.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, it's just memories. So
just memories and vibes.
I'm just waiting for the day when one day we both show up and no one's done.
We're like, when I'm like, it's Jay's turn. And she's like, no, it's your turn. And I'm like, no, it's your turn. No, it's your turn. But yeah, all right, it's Jade's turn. Go ahead.
Cool. Okay, so this week we're gonna talk about a really famous case, actually.
Yay.
It happened right here in the DMV, so the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And I don't know, you probably won't know this, and you might even know like the whole case, so no spoilers. But today we're gonna talk about the Lululemon murders.
Oh
yeah, it was a big deal. It was everywhere.
This is fun. I like this. This is a wild ride. This is good. Okay,
yeah, it's a wild ride.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay. So, like, obviously, you know, like, there's some episodes where I'm like, yeah, let's keep it the mystery. And some of them, like, we're just going to be straight up. Because most people know it. It's really famous.
I feel like this episode is going to be straight clownery. Because that was some wild shit. Just,
it's the stupidity.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on March 11, 2011, so a Lululemon employee was murdered, and another one was attacked inside a Lululemon store located in Bethesda, Maryland. And the Lululemon there is actually still open. I've heard some people say they moved it to another location, but I don't know if that's true.
I'm pretty sure there's a Lululemon in Pike and Rose.
Yeah, and there's
but
a Lululemon.
I don't know if that's the same one.
There's a mall really close to that, and there's a Lululemon in there, but I don't know if it's like, I put this in there, but basically for a bit of context, so the Lululemon is in Bethesda, Maryland. So that's a suburb located right outside of Washington, D.C. And it's a really, really affluent area. It actually sits like on the border. So if you're not from here, so basically, you know, D.C. is like it's not state. It's like a district.
It's a district. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. If you're around here, you get it. Yeah. But basically like the edges, there's like basically four edges. It's kind of like this weird diamond looking thing with rigid edges. Anyways, doesn't matter. But you know, each edge of it touches either Virginia or Maryland. Mm-hmm. And the side where Bethesda is, the side of DC it touches is even like the most, one of the more affluent parts of DC. Because there are parts of the city that aren't super affluent, like, you know, regular, degular, and some that are even like poor and things like that. But like, just to put it in perspective, like, homes in Bethesda can be more than homes in D.C. So it's a rich, rich area.
Like, if you live in Bethesda, you got that money.
Yeah, okay? $1 million homes. The apartments probably $2,500 a month. Like, you know, it's crazy. So put that into perspective. Very Very upper class area. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Lululemon is like literally perfect for that demographic because that is like I want to say they even are part of starting the trend of like athleisure. Like it's a really upscale, like yoga, you know, like leggings.
And TikTok. All the leggings are $90.
Yeah, it's like $100 t-shirts, like everything mm-hmm. in there. I think nothing in there probably is less than $45. And the socks are probably $45. But it's a really, really...
what? I just laughed because I remember my sister telling me this story about how when she was working as like an assistant or something. Mm-hmm. Like she was broke as fuck. And they gave her like, I guess instead of a Christmas bonus, they gave her a Lululemon gift card. It was $100 gift card. That's and she had thing. Never been to Lululemon. So she was like, ooh, wait, I'm about to go and get me some exercise clothes. And she went in there and she was like, what the fuck? She was like, so one shirt. Like, this is crazy. She's like, I'm almost insulted because I'm broke as fuck. I would have just took the $100.
Like, yeah, and you still have to like pay the cash.
Yeah,
the
you
cash.
Have to pay.
Like, you would still owe the money checking out.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's a very fancy schmancy type of store.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've even been on like TikTok, but sometimes people will be like, oh, I want to be like a Lululemon wearing mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like quintessential rich, like non-working mom who just like, you know, prances around like her leggings and power walks.
Yeah.
It really like fits that aesthetic. She like starts drinking at like 10 a.m.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Perfect. So that's basically the gist of what Lululemon was. Yeah. And this Lululemon was actually in the shopping center. It was called Bethesda Row. And we were actually there a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, that's wild. And I was trying to remember in my head if that Lululemon is still there. I don't shop there.
I called it Pike and Rose, but Bethesda
Row. Yeah. But, I don't shop there, so I wouldn't know. But I was trying to really remember my brain, but I couldn't. But apparently it's still there. Mm-hmm. Or they've just moved the location to somewhere else, like you said. But it's still in the area, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to give a little backstory, so basically our story is going to revolve around the two women. So Jana Troxel Murray and Brittany Norwood. And those are the victims of the Lululemon attack. I'm being so tongue twisted. But anyways. And just for like the purpose of storytelling, and you're like, why are you doing this? Because basically Jana Murray, so she's a young blonde white woman, and Brittany Norwood is around the same age and she's black. So just for you to like put a picture in your head, or maybe you Google it, like Jana's the white one and Brittany's the black one.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't really like a racial episode or anything, just for like storytelling purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So both women worked at the Bethesda location, and they actually didn't really know each other that well. So Brittany hadn't been there working there that long. So mm-hmm. although they were coworkers, they didn't really know each other that well. And they also had like pretty different backgrounds. So to give a little bit of background, each woman. So Jana, so she was around 30 or literally 30, and she spent most of her life actually in Texas, and she moved to the Washington, D.C. area for like higher education.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to Georgetown for her undergrad, and then she actually ended up pursuing two master's degrees at like the same time, like dual, I didn't know you could do this, like dual master's degrees at Johns Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of getting her education, she enjoyed yoga and other physical activities. Apparently, she was a bit of a, like, daredevil, so she did things like bungee jumping, and she just enjoyed being active, exploring, and, like, being in the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of made her, again, like, the perfect person to be working at Lululemon because she, you know, knew activewear pretty well, and I feel like she can relate to the demographics and kind of, you know, help people find their perfect pair of leggings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so naturally, she ended up...
Not their what? Perfect pair. Oh, yeah. Their perfect pair of leggings.
I don't know, but like, I feel like they probably have different fits. You know how they'd be like the Amber fit?
Yes.
The Jolene fit. Like, I don't know.
The Azure fit.
Just say wide-legged leggings. Like, it's very hard.
Wide-legged leggings.
Those are making a comeback, though, man.
Yeah, they're cute.
Yeah, Target got the little flare leggings again. You'll never catch me dead in a pair of flare leggings.
What?
I wore those so much in, like, 2003.
Yeah, wide-legged leggings, as you call them, are making a comeback.
They are.
But yeah, do you remember gauchos?
Yeah, gauchos are like cropped wide-legged leggings. Again, I will never, if gauchos come back, I hope gauchos never come back.
Anyway, moving on.
I hope gauchos never
That just popped into my head.
How did gauchos, never mind. You were like wearing gauchos on the red carpet. Like, I feel like someone would be like, that's a gaucho. Just Google it.
Just Google it. And you're gonna die laughing like I...
It's the weirdest. It's just weird. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, good pair of gauchos.
All right. Yeah. So she was helping people find their legging gauchos.
So she was there, obviously, part-time, working there part-time to make money, because obviously she's a grad student.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually working as a manager, so a part-time manager.
Mm-hmm.
So Brittany was kind of like similar, but not really similar. So she too was not originally from the Washington, D.C. area. So she was from Washington State. And she had a pretty normal, like actually a fluent childhood. So she played soccer in high school and she actually won like awards and stuff playing soccer. And she went on to play soccer in college. And I couldn't actually find like how Brittany ended up like coming to D.C. or like what was the mode. Maybe she just, you know, people move all the time. Maybe she wanted to just come to see just to come. But she did have dreams of becoming a personal trainer. So she actually had planned, like had an interview set up the same week as the attacks to be a physical trainer at the Equinox. So I wouldn't think of, yeah, and there is an Equinox, I've seen the Equinox down there, but yeah, I wouldn't think of DC as being like a hub of personal training. Like I would think if you want to make it big, you go to Miami or like LA or something, a more, you know, warm climate, something like that with like actors maybe or people, you know, but hey.
Athletes.
You know, people move where they want to move. Still, I'm trying to, I couldn't really wrap my head around why she had moved here, but.
So Brittany's the white girl, right?
Brittany Norwood is a black girl.
No, that's okay. Okay, I'm flipping. Okay,
and Jana, gotcha. Yeah, Jana is right, the cool. white girl.
Okay, got you. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
So Brittany, the black woman, she, like I said, I don't know why she moved to D.C., but she went from college in New York to D.C., and apparently she aspired to be a physical trainer. Maybe she just came for a fresh start, who knows, but she was more so working there part-time too, but that's like really, she wasn't in school, I think. That's like, you know, what she was doing basically full-time.
Okay.
Cool. So let's get back to the actual story now that we have some background. So on March 12, 2011, a Saturday morning, so a Lululemon manager, Rachel, she comes to open up the store that morning. So March 12th, she comes to the store and she actually notices that the front door is unlocked. So it's open, unlocked. And at first she's kind of like, damn, like these, you know, employees be fucking up. And she probably is like, ugh, like someone just left the door open. But as she kind of peeks inside, she's like, eh, like something doesn't really seem right, right? So she's kind of like outside the doorway of this door. And if you don't know, the shopping complex is the outside complex. So she's basically standing outside, looking into the store, kind of like, what? Like, what happened? Like, trying to figure out what had happened, right? Mm-hmm. She's probably going through her phone, trying to figure out who closed. She's just, you know, doing a lot of things, but she's not inside the store. Mm-hmm. So she didn't go inside. So this Lululemon is actually located right next to an Apple store. And the Apple store was actually having a release the same day. So I feel like if you, you know, remember the early, well, mid-2000s, you know, loot, like, and it's still to this day, like, Apple releases are, I guess, I don't stand in line for them. But people stand in line. Back in the day, the only way you could get it was, like, standing in line. So there just happened to be some Apple product releasing the same day. And there's a line of people, like, in front of that Apple store. So one of the guys who's in line, he actually notices, like, Rachel freaking out. So he's kind of like, hey, like, are you okay? And she's like, hey, like, how long have you been here? And he's like, oh, I've been here since, like, early this morning. She's like, oh, did you see anybody come into the store? Like, did you see anybody tamper? She's like, basically, the door was open, and I'm trying to make sure it's safe to come inside. So did you see anybody? And he's like, oh, no, I haven't seen anybody come in or out of it. And he kind of notices, like, how freaked out she is. So he's like, you know what? Like, I'm going to kind of, like, you know, like, come in and help this woman. He probably, you know, is like, oh, there's nothing there. But he, you know, is like, I'll help her.
Right? Wanted to put her mind at ease a little bit.
Yeah, so they both walk in the store, and immediately they see that the floors are covered in blood. So there's bloody footsteps. The store has been ransacked. The money's out the register. And Rachel, the manager, freaks out. She leaves out the store and calls, like, police immediately. Mm-hmm. So the guy himself, I feel like he tries to put on brave face, and he actually, like, for Rachel, like, just means something. He actually ventures deeper into the store.
Nigga.
Yeah, so he kind of, like, seeing the blood and all that, he still is, like, and it's not, like, pools of blood, but there are footsteps that are, like, blood. And the store is ransacked. Like, everything's knocked over. Like, clearly, like, something has happened, right? Like, it's obviously, like, some type of crime has happened. So he himself was like, you know what? Like, I'll figure it out. I'll help this woman. I don't know if you want to be a hero, whatever. But Rachel, you know, she goes out. She basically, I feel like she's probably the one who called police to the scene. Mm-hmm. But this guy, you know, he pushes forward and moves throughout the store. So he moves throughout the store. And I don't know who he found first. But he finds Brittany Norwood. So Brittany Norwood is actually, so she's laying down in the bathroom, passed out. So she's passed out. I think she was actually passed out in like a pile of blood, like almost like a pool of blood. Mm-hmm. There's blood all over her body. He manages to wake her up basically and like shake her up. She's zip tied. So basically her feet are zip tied together. Her hands are zip tied together. She's laying down in this blood. She has multiple cuts all over her body. She's bleeding, but she was alive. Mm-hmm. So even with that, so she's alive. So even after finding her, he treks forward. So he keeps on trekking and he goes down a hallway. So like even most retail stores have like, you know, a tiny hallway to go to the back or go to that
exit.
So
like the stock room or something.
Yeah, stock room, exit, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And this is where he finds Jana. So Jana is in much much worse condition. So she's laying face down in a pool of what is obviously her own blood, and she has injuries that are severe. So Jana had actually been stabbed over 300 times. So she had about 330 stab wounds all over her body.
Okay.
Yeah, so she has severe head trauma. It even looks as if she had like been choked at one point. And in her hands, she had the clumps of her own hair. And like, how did that work out? So, yeah.
Mm.
So they find Jen, obviously, she is obviously pronounced dead at the scene. So with that, obviously, they call police, and police arrive at the crime scene pretty quickly. And it's obviously really gruesome. There's blood everywhere. There's bloody footprints. There's hair. So the hair is not only in her hands. The hair is like all over the floor. So Jana's like blonde hair is like in clumps like throughout the store.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Brittany being the victim who was alive. So she's like immediately rushed to the hospital and inspected by doctors. So the doctors inspect her injuries and they notice that most of her injuries are actually surface level. So although she is like cut badly, like, you know, cut a lot of times, none of her wounds are really life-threatening or need major medical attention except two. So she's a pretty bad cut on her head, and I don't know where the second cut is, but only two cuts actually needed medical attention. I'm always sniffling. But the cuts were they were so, I don't want to say like superficial, but they were so, how do I say this? Basically, she was awake. Like, she was awake, she was alive, she's conscious, right? So police are like, let's talk to her now, right? So police don't really lollygag and wait for Brittany to heal to talk to her. They talk to her immediately. So they ask her, hey, like, do you remember, like, what happened, right? And when they talk to Brittany, see, this is basically the story they tell them. So according to Brittany, like, the sole witness right now, she says that the women, they closed up the store as usual, and they locked up. So after a night of work, they lock up the store on March 11th, and everything's fine, right? So Brittany, she leaves the store and she realized, I guess she got to the metro, right? And she realized she had left her smart trip inside. And the smart trip is basically like a fare card to get on the DC metro system, like the train. So she left that inside and she actually doesn't have, so she lives inside, but she's not a manager, right? So she has no type of way to get back in the store, but she like needs to go home. So she needs her fare card. And she actually calls several other Lulu employees to get Jana's number. So she doesn't even have the manager, the working manager's number. So she calls several people and eventually somebody gives up the number, right? So she gets it. She calls Jana and she's like, hey, I left my smart trip in the car, not the car, in the Lululemon. And she has no way of getting home because in the store. So she calls Jana and Jana's like, you know what? I actually left my computer in the store. So she's like, you know, I need to come back and get it anyway. So I'm not that far away. So Jana actually doubles back and comes back to the Lululemon to let Brittany in. So they meet back at the store and Jana actually like, well, you've been there, but she double park again. It's an outside complex. So she double
like a street mall.
Yeah. So she strip mall. Like a nice strip mall. Right. So you can imagine this. So she double parks her car. It's late at night. The whole shopping center is closed. It doesn't matter. So she basically illegally parks probably over like, you know, multiple parking spaces. Mm. She parks her car in front of Lululemon because they basically are trying to go in and out. Basically, they're assuming they're going to grab it, leave, whatever. So she gets to the store, she opens it up, they both come back in, and they think it's going to be a quick in and out. They're going to grab the smart trip, the laptop, and leave. So neither of them think to lock the doors behind them. So the doors are basically open the whole time. And apparently they didn't even turn the lights on. Like apparently they plan on being there and they're so quick and fast that like they didn't turn the lights on. So they're looking for the card and they don't find it. So Jana's like, you know what? Like take mine. I drove here. I'm gonna drive back here tomorrow. Like as long as you give it back to me when you see me, I don't need to ride the metro anytime soon. So you can have it. So she gives her the card. They're both like on their way out. But before they can lock up the store, two men actually come in dressed in black. And they start to attack the woman. So according to Brittany, the two men come in the store and they both pick a victim. So they don't, yeah, they don't like, what's the word? They don't thrash, whatever. They don't cut up or attack both the women at once. So it's not like two on one. So both of the men, one's tall, one's short, all in black, they pick a victim. So Brittany basically says the attacker she saw basically grabbed Jana by her hair. And that's why her hair's all over and dragged her to the back of the store. So she says when she was dragged to the back, she has no idea what happened to Jana after that. But she says from her own account, that's when she was actually dragged to the bathroom. And she says the attacker was just vicious. The attacker tortured her. So one of his main goals was to torture her. That's where she got all the cuts from. She says he also raped her, sexually assaulted her, and called her racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
She says that then due to the injuries and all the trauma that she passed out and she basically can't remember much. She is kind of, they do ask her, they're like, hey, so you basically are alive, like, you know, you're not fighting for your life, basically. Like, you would think, like, with one person who's dead with 300 injuries, and you basically made it out alive, you know, you probably stayed the night in the hospital, now you're walking around talking to us, you know, mm-hmm. it would make sense if she survived, but was, like, really beat up, right?
All she needed was a little Neosporin.
Yeah, so she only had to have, like, two wounds treated, is walking, talking, you mm-hmm. know, it probably was released by now, all types of shit, right? They're like, why did you get better treatment, right? Like, how do you know why you survived? And she basically said that the men said she was, like, better to fuck. Like, she was...
Huh?
Yeah. So, they said she said that, like, they said basically, like, oh, she was more fun to, like, have sex with, or they enjoyed the sex... They enjoyed the rape better with her, so they let her go. And that's what she said when she was asked.
Okay.
So, the two attackers, like I said, they also robbed the store. So, the store was robbed. So, there was no money in the cashier. Everything was thrown everywhere. It was trashed. And then the men, you know, they left the store, and they left both the women's bodies there. And that brings us back to March 12th. When Rachel, the manager, finds this door unlocked and finds both of the bodies. Or that man basically finds both the bodies.
Yeah.
So, quickly, this, like, again, if you weren't alive, well, I feel like you should be alive at the time to listen to this. Well, no, that, you'd be, like, 13. Kids are old, is it? How much, I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Kids, I mean, when I think about the things I listened to when I was 13, you shouldn't be listening if you're 13, but I'm sure there's
rated
a
R.
few. Yeah, I'm sure there's a few, so, yeah.
Anyways, but nonetheless, if you do remember it or you just were in the area, this got crazy media coverage. So, like, immediately. Because, again, like, this is a super affluent area. Just to put in perspective, the crime happened. So, they have, like, the logs of the door being unlocked and locked. So, in, like, a 20-minute span, I think, like, 9:45, they lock it to leave. And then it gets unlocked again around 10-something. So, basically, they, you know, she calls her and she comes back pretty quick. They get in. So this is not super late at night. So even though the stores are closed, there are, like, you know, restaurant bars, like, other little things around. So it kind of made the residents feel like, oh, it's, like, not safe to walk around this, like, area I spent a million dollars to be in. Mm-hmm. And now it's not safe. So they were working really hard to clean it up because this type of crime is, like, you know, unheard of in this area.
Yeah. I mean, if you're from this area, you know. If you're not, Bethesda Row is... Like you say, it's affluent. When I go down there, all I see is Mercedes and BMWs and Teslas.
Tesla, exactly. Yeah. The whole parking garage is only
Teslas. Yeah, it's Teslas. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got money. I'm sure they made a big old stink about it.
And people, listen, people pay a lot of money to live in that walkable. Like, when you go out there, it's a lot of people live in a walkable region.
Yeah.
People pay a lot of money to have that type of access.
Yeah. Those apartments, those condos are, like, crazy expensive. So, yeah, I'm sure if they're like, I done paid all this goddamn money to be able to walk and go to my restaurants and stuff. Y'all telling me y'all murderers out here? Not going to fly.
Yeah. So, obviously, almost immediately, like, police, you know, start a whole investigation. And it made news everywhere. So, it made national news, local news. It made news everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there was a $150,000 reward for anyone who could basically turn someone in or had any information about these two men.
Mm-hmm.
So police, they start investigating, start going through everything, and they basically try to talk to any potential witnesses. So the one thing we stated before is this is actually next to an Apple store. So they share a wall, and they interview Apple employees, and Apple employees say, I think it was like a woman. She basically says that they actually did hear noises from the Lululemon that night. So when they were closing up, they heard noises. And the Apple store actually has cameras inside of it because obviously there's a lot of really expensive equipment. They have cameras all throughout that joint.
Yeah.
So there's actually camera footage, and you can see two employees kind of be distraught. Like, they hear the noises and they're like, what? And then they walk to their back wall and they put their ear to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the one lady, I think she later went on to, you know, be a witness or testify, whatever. And she says that she hear like help me God and stuff like that through the wall.
She didn't call the police?
Yeah, so she says that she didn't call the police, but she says that, you know, there's security at Apple stores. So she grabbed a security guard and was like, hey, man, like, I'm hearing stuff to the wall. And you can see two employees, like, with their ear to the wall. So maybe the second employee is the security guard. But apparently she says that, like, the security guard knocked on the wall, like, shut up. Like, they thought it was, like, a joke. They thought the girls were, like just being loud girls. And were like, you know, shut up. And they knocked on the wall. And then they said the noises stopped. So he was like, that's that. So basically the screaming stopped after he was like, bang, bang, like, that's enough. And they stopped. And they did nothing about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's why the punk ass rent a cops. I'm like, what are y'all good for? What do you get paid for? Because when something actually happens, they don't do shit.
Yeah, I never really. I feel like it's like they're more for like
a deterrent.
Yeah, and it's for like shoplifting. Mm-hmm. I feel like very little, not so often people shoplift with like a gun, like maybe a bank, but I don't know, like if you're gonna steal like iPads, like I don't think you really bring a gun to steal iPads.
No.
And I think that some people have guns, like some security guards have guns, but some don't. So I don't even know if he, maybe he was like, I'm not going over there, because maybe he literally has also no way to defend himself. Because I don't know what's the training for a security guard. Like
I think security guards don't have guns, but the discrepancy is like some places hire like actual police officers as security.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why you see some of them, because the ones who have guns are actual police officers, okay, and it's like their side job,
for lack
of a better word.
Yeah.
And then they have those little runner cops who just ride around, and I don't fucking know what they do.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if it's like an oath you take or something, because I feel like even him, I feel like he's like, I don't get paid enough for this, because I mean they probably should have called the cops,
the police,
whose actual job it is. But yeah, like the security guard being like, yeah, I don't know, I feel like he should have just called the cops, because I don't expect him to go over there and stop it, but he should have called the cops.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they should have called the cops. Basically, like I said, they didn't call the cops, they didn't look in the window and say, hey, are you guys okay? They just kind of left it at that. They said once they banged, the noise stopped, and they kind of went on with their lives and locked up that night and went home. So, the Lululemon store itself actually doesn't have cameras.
Mm.
But again, Apple has outside cameras. So, they actually noticed that night, two men dressed in all black did walk past the Apple store. So, you can't really see the reach of the Lululemon, but there are two men, one shorter, one taller, dressed in all black, around the same time, like, walking past Apple store. Mm. So, one detective is like, oh, like, these are our men. And he basically was like, you know, this is such a gruesome, horrendous crime, as well as it's a robbery. Like, maybe they'll strike again.
Mm-hmm.
So, he actually starts coming out, like, every night and staking out the Apple store, the Lululemon store, looking for these guys. And one of the night, he actually sees the two men who are in the photo. So, mm-hmm. he gets out of his vehicle with a picture of the security camera footage and is like, hey, do you know who these men are? Like, basically, I'm looking for them, whatever, asking two guys, and they're in the all black, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, that's us.
Yeah.
They're like, we work at the restaurant down there,
mm-hmm.
and they have all black on because they're hostesses they and waitresses. Yeah. So they have to wear all black. That's pretty normal.
Standard.
Yeah, restaurant attire.
Yeah, I was a waitress,
too. Yeah, and they're like, yeah, to get home, we walk from the restaurant through here to back to where we live. They just walk home together basically every night they have their shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, find footage to corroborate that they basically do this like all the time. Like this is how they get home.
Mm-hmm.
So those men are almost like immediately off the hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then police, like, you know, there's a reward. So people start to call in tips. And basically these people start to say, like, there's a local homeless man in the area who's pretty aggressive. So he's had, so I guess people have had attacks him in the past. And they're like, you know what, he kind of fits the description. So they look into this. And normally the guy is like, this homeless man is at a local bar. So most nights he frequents this bar, gets his drinks. And then I guess gets like violent, right?
And the night of, berates people on the street. Yeah.
And the night of the attacks, he actually wasn't at that bar. So it kind of like corroborates the fact like maybe he what? Like maybe he's the attacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they try to find this homeless man. They talk to him and basically they find out that he was actually gotten a separate fight that night and was basically with somebody else. And he was basically in the hospital like at the time. So he also cannot like be responsible for the murders.
Okay.
So now with this evidence and basically like the men in black and
not him getting a separate
fight. Yeah, no, he was beat up. Like if you look it up, when they find him, he has like a black, like, he's pretty badly beat
he's
up.
He's like, I didn't commit this murder because I was beat the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't really dive too much into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel bad for him. But yeah, whatever happened to him, he was pretty down bad when they found him. So they were like, okay, we're just going to leave him where he's at.
Yeah.
So like I said, now that they've investigated, the only like suspect leads they have, they start to basically relook at the crime scene. And they start, well, they probably already found these things, but they start to look at them differently, right? So one, the first thing that's like the main piece of evidence in this case is there was a, there's footprints. So there's footprints all over the store and they're from a men's size 14 shoe. So they're thinking like, oh, whoever committed this is probably a man and they were a size 14. Secondly, notice that Jana and Brittany were only attacked by weapons found in the store. So like a hammer, there's like a metal piece from a display, like just a variety of random things, like, you know, because there was metal. I worked retail before too, and there was all types of, one girl actually got a concussion. I worked at Hollister, and she got a concussion because we were putting up like shelves and it fell on her. But we had like metal hooks and even the mannequins, we had like these really heavy rods they stood on,
mm-hmm.
and we had like a bunch of them in the back. So that didn't shock me that there was like things used in weapons in the store. Mm-hmm. But everything they were attacked with had came from within the store. Mm-hmm. So whoever the attacker was, they're like, oh, did they even plan to commit this tonight? Because they didn't shoot anybody, didn't bring their own knives. They just ransacked the place. Yeah,
because it's like if you were, first off, the store was closed. So mm-hmm. how would they have known that they were going to be there at that time that? You know what I'm saying? Unless it was a crime of opportunity. You were looking for a crime of opportunity, you probably would bring, like you said, a gun or a knife or something to say, like, open the store or get in the store or something like that. Yeah.
Like, you're that bold that you just know that you can, like, fight this and you just know these are in the store. So that was a little suspicious. As well as they also say that, like, so Jana had, like, 330 wounds on her. And basically the time frame for which this would have had to happen, for the person to have been able to find, like, they don't work here. Mm-hmm. So for them to have found all the weapons, beat her, you know what I'm saying? There's different weapons involved. They stole the money and they found another weapon and still was able to inflict like 300 wounds on this woman. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives you the vibe that maybe this person like knew the store or they were someone who was experienced in this mm-hmm. type of like robbery, like maybe retail robbery. Because that's a lot.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, there's a lot of dangerous things in retail.
Boss cutters.
I used to work at a shoe store, and the way we used to not climb those ladders, but like literally run up the ladders.
Yeah.
We used to run and run that ladder just shaking. I'm like, that thing could have fell at any time.
We were really bad. We had like the bays, and we used to put them closed, and we used to like parkour them.
Yes.
And like, boom, 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 and grab
the box.
And I just like fall, like, hope you didn't just like die to your death. And then we also like said, like, it's pretty dangerous because we had box cutters, but we had a box of blades.
Yes.
Right under the desk, like, again, if you knew, you knew. But I guess if you saw it, it's not hard to spot. But it was a box with just fresh blades to change out. Because I did stock. So you're opening like 20 boxes every day you come in and you're opening boxes, opening packages. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the blades come and go. But yeah, nobody ever got hurt. But yeah, it was plenty of, more than anybody would have in their home, basically. Yeah. Tons and tons of blades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all of that was like really suspicious. So along with the fact that actually, so if you remember... Shayna's car, so when she pulled up, she double parked her car. So then police are like, where is this woman's car? So they start to look for her car. It's supposed to be illegally parked out front, and it's in a lot somewhere. So then they find it in a lot not so far, and they notice that there's a blood-stained baseball cap in the car. And they're basically like, how did this get here? And the blood, like, so the cap is blood-stained, and I don't think they have like DNA tested it yet. Basically, the spot matches where Brittany was hit.
Okay.
So police go back to Brittany, and they're basically like, hey, like, we found this cap, and it has a blood stain. I'm like, do you know anything about it? As well as you said her car was illegally parked outside, and, like, the murderer would have had to, like, move the car. So they come back to her, and basically she changes her story.
Mm-hmm.
And says that she was, like, in the car at one point and things like that, and that's how she had left the cap and, like, what? And basically everyone was like, well, if you were attacked, right, and you had, like, left and came back, wouldn't your first thing be to call the police and run away and get help?
Not like, lay down in the bathroom.
Yeah, like, how did you leave the bathroom, get to the car, come back? Like, how did any of this happen? Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So police are already like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And that really, like, the whole car thing and, like, the lying situation about that, that's, like, how police got their whole whiff of, like, maybe Brittany has something to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
So police start to look into Brittany. And again, so one of the key, like, now that they're like, okay, so we have a suspect that would have known the Lululemon store a little bit more. So they can start to think about the evidence even differently, right? And the main piece of evidence is kind of is like, how did this happen, right? Like, it kind of makes them think it's a man, is that size 14 shoe. And as they're investigating, they actually realize that those size 14 shoes belong to the Lululemon store. And they were left at the store. So whoever was the murderer would have kicked their shoes off and put on new shoes. And that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot. They would have really left barefoot or had new shoes waiting for them.
I'm dead. Okay.
Yeah. So those shoes actually belong to the store, and they were for people to try on. So basically, you know, you buying a lot of activewear. So if I came in like boots or something, or like my work clothes, they would let me borrow these shoes. And it was one pair they had. So basically anybody could put them on, and they were big enough so they could fit anybody. They didn't have like a size 8, a size 9. Everybody shared these shoes. Mm-hmm. So if you came in, you're like, oh, I want to see how I look in my leggings for real. You put the shoes on, put your little booties on, whatever they call them, little sock things, mm-hmm. and try them on. So they're like, oh, that's peculiar. That the murderer would have taken off their shoes, put on the Lululemon shoes, committed the murder, and then stomped around in the Lululemon shoes. And how did they even find the shoes? Like, the attack itself, like, was probably, like, 30 minutes long. So, like, how did the murderer, like, find everything so quickly? And they're kind of like, it must have been someone who knew this store. Mm-hmm. Again, like, that's probably Brittany. The second thing was that, well, there's a bit to it. Okay. So, a lot of it. So, secondly, thirdly, whatever. Remember how Brittany was zip-tied?
Yes.
So, they got the zip ties off her, right? And they noticed that the zip ties are from the store. So, again, another item from the store. But the zip ties around her feet were fine, right? Zip tie, whatever, whatever. But the zip ties around her wrist had teeth marks. So, mm-hmm. that leads them to believe she did it herself. Because she would have had to grab it. Like, mm-hmm. you can put them on, but then to do it yourself, you have to grab
her tighten teeth it, yeah.
and tighten it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, why would the murderer do that? Like, there'd be no reason. So that's another one. Also, the only shoe prints found in the store are those of the size 14 and Brittany's. And the shoe prints overlap. So there's no distinct prints. It's like she walked around in blood, walked around, put on the size 14 shoes, and then walked around again in the shoes.
You know, I think this bitch did. I think this bitch put the shoes on her hands.
You know what? That's actually what she might have done. And then
and that's why they were
because
so
because they're over top. They're over top of the, yeah. So, and those are the only shoe prints. So, like, why
dumbass.
Was Brittany allowed to run around when Jana wasn't? Yeah.
I can just imagine her just, like, on her, like, just like this.
Yeah.
Like a damn spider. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Like, people think they're so smart.
Yeah. And if that's
so smart,
bro, and if that wasn't like enough conflicting evidence, they actually started to look into Brittany's past, right? And it's a past that really no one knew about. Mm-hmm. So even though she actually had gone to college, she actually never graduated. So they mm-hmm. found out that she actually had like lied to her whole family.
Oh,
she had told them that she had graduated and things like that. She never did. She just left. Like, I think her last semester, she just left. And
they never wanted. Well, I guess everybody's family's not the same, but nobody ever wanted to come to a graduation or anything like that?
Yeah. Like, I don't even understand that, but basically, like, I guess she told him she graduated, didn't want to go to the graduation, and everyone just believed it. But, like, everyone in her life was under the impression that she had graduated from college, but she actually never had.
You know what that makes me think about? I don't know if you heard about it, that girl Jennifer Penn. Well, long story short, she ended up killing her parents, but she was, like, a weird ass, like, she was... Like, her parents were Asian immigrants. They were, like, really, really hard on her. And she was not, I guess, living up to the expectations. Mm. But she did the same type of thing. Like, she lied. Like, she didn't even graduate high school. She lied about that. She lied about being in college. And then,
about
like,
graduating high school?
Yes.
How'd she get over that one?
I don't fucking know. That's what I'm saying. But that's just what it makes me think of. And she ended up being a psychotic murderer, too. But, yeah, I'm like, when people... do that, I'm just like, how do you get away yeah. with, like, your family must I don't know.
Yeah, so she lied about, so basically she was like, they found out she basically was a liar. Mm-hmm. They also found out that she had a past of like stalking a boyfriend. So basically, mm-hmm. she had an ex-boyfriend, and she stalked this man so bad she ended up getting a restraining order from him. And I think even after the restraining order, she tried to like break into his home or something like that. Oh. Like waiting outside of him, like threatening him. So she actually had like a pretty crazy past.
Bitch.
As well as, even more shockingly, she had worked at a previous Lululemon. So she had recently worked at another Lululemon and was fired for shoplifting. Mm-hmm. And from that, they found out that she actually shoplifted a lot, like for the thrill of it. Like she was a like compulsive shoplifter. So like as they're investigating, like all this stuff
what
comes
they,
out.
What do they call that?
Kleptomania?
Yeah, kleptomania.
She's klepto.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so she actually, they found out all of these things about her. And after that, you know, there's more than enough damning evidence to at this point kind of like, what's it called? I guess make her a suspect or convictor. Not convictor. What's it called when they like...
A person of interest.
A person of interest, yeah. So there's enough to kind of bring her in for questioning, right? Mm-hmm. So with all this evidence, and they already asked her about it once, and they proved that she's lying, and I think they even said like the officer acted if they believed Brittany, and they were going to like help her find her, you know, attacker and things like that. They made her believe all of it. Even when the police officer, like, at one point, like, he was kind of tipped off because when she was describing the guy, the guys have been the worst people on earth. So one, he was like, you know, when crimes are committed, it's one or the other, right? Mm. You know, maybe rape, murder, just a murder, strangling, whatever. Mm. But the guys robbed the store. They trashed the store. They brutally tortured the woman, raped them, and they were racist. And they call her racist slurs. Like, they were all this baked into one.
And they killed the other young lady.
And like I said, the whole thing, like, oh, they liked fucking me, so I didn't die. Like, that's a lot. So even, like, from the beginning, they kind of were like, something's a bit off with this woman.
You know what was off? And I didn't want to say this because it took everything in me not to say this. You know what was the first inkling that I was like, bitch, you fucking lying?
Her hair.
No. Nobody fucking goes all the way back to work for a smart trick card. Bitch, just buy another one.
Okay, so that's what... Okay, wait.
Who does that?
Her hair was just a Molly Shawn's, but it did look raggedy. Besides the hair. But I thought the same thing because nowadays, right, a smart trick costs $2. But that's new. In 2011, smart trick, didn't cost any addition. It was paper. So to put on the fare of $2, it didn't cost additional money. So that's what I thought was weird too, because it didn't cost any more money. Yeah. So like, I've left my smart trip at work before. I did it all the time, whatever. And I would not go back, even though, so I basically worked 5 steps, literally it was my door to my job and then the station, and I wouldn't come back. Wouldn't scan back in for it. I would literally purchase it. And a lot of times at Metro, if you talk to the people, they can transfer the money. So you can even do it online. You can move the money. So maybe you did lose it, or you found and you felt like you have like 45 cents on this one. So you can put it together. You can move the money. So it's not all that. So that is so weird, right?
As soon as you said that, I was like, I'm not going to say nothing because I don't want to ruin it.
But it's weird.
But I feel like now we're getting into the meat of it. But when she said, oh, I left my smart trip, can I come back? I would have been like, girl, just get another smart trip.
No. I mean, but I guess if she was saying she was like down bad, so like.
But it was, I guess, I just don't, you ain't that down bad, bitch. I'll cash app you. I ain't coming back to that fucking store.
Yeah, because it's like, who knows how far she was going. But I think the most expensive, and that's like today in, you know, crazy inflation times. But I think the most expensive match I would have is like $13. And I think that's like the highest you can go. Like, if you go all the way to the end of the earth and come back, it's like $13.
Yeah, there and back.
Yeah.
But so she was only going one way.
Yeah, so if you live...
So you want $7? Locally,
and it's off-peak, so like, people don't know. But if you're traveling in the... I hate it here. But if you're traveling during business hours, it costs more than if you would do it at night or like randomly during lunchtime or on the weekend. It costs a lot more. So on the weekend or like at 10 o'clock at night, it probably costs $4, like $7 at most to go back and forth anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. So that immediately, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Nobody goes all the way back to their job to get a smart trip card. Nobody does that. They have them at the station, girl. Get
right.
One.
It's really... And sometimes you just, like, tell the guy, hey, I can't go home. They'll give you a little...
They'll open it up.
Yeah. And you can actually go negative on those joints. I don't know if you could do it in 2011, but
yeah,
now...
Yeah, you could
go
negative.
But now you can go negative. You can go, like, if you really know... you know, if you really need to get home, you can go, like, $2 or something negative, which is actually quite a far way you can go home.
Yeah.
But either way... Yeah, so basically with all of that, police actually took her for like formal questioning, and through the whole questioning, she actually maintained her innocence. So police couldn't get anywhere with her, and they actually brought in her brother. And her brother basically, you know, the thing they do, like basically the cops brought her brother in and they all questioned her together. And the brother was like, you know, like if you know something about the murder, like just tell us, whatever, whatever. And the police are like, you know what? Like she basically like, I want to go home. So they're like, oh, let's take a break, right? So her and her brother are in the room alone. And basically, she still won't really confess to the killings. Like, she's kind of like, oh, I don't want to talk about it here. I don't want to talk about it. But it's, like, damning enough where, like, he's like, hey, like, girl, give it up. And police are like, you know, like, we have the footage. Like, you know, like, nothing's really private in here. And she eventually does, like, confess to the murder.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
Shocking.
So, you want to know, like, basically what really happened. Like, this is apparently This is what happened.
That bitch was getting sticky fingers.
Oh, yeah, so you know the story. Yeah, you know the story.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically what happened was, so the first part is true. So Jana and Brittany, they did lock up the store, and apparently they locked up the store, and during this whole thing, like, Brittany already has, like, a vendetta, kind of, because apparently at the store, Brittany had been shoplifting. Mm-hmm. And I guess Brittany had caught wind that Jana had found out, and Jana had, I don't know, again, this was, like, actually, like, barred from being used in court, but the story we're running with is that Jana had found out that Brittany was stealing. I guess other managers in the store also were aware of this, and maybe they were waiting for the right time to fire her or approach her about this, but they had a text trail or something, or had been gossiping and bullying about it, and Brittany had gotten a whiff of them kind of murmuring in the background about her stealing. And this had basically pissed off Brittany. So then Brittany kind of, I guess, and again, they say it wasn't, so basically the big case was that this wasn't premeditated, but either way, after that, and I think they have like a disagreement about it, like a literal argument about it, they go home, and this is when Brittany basically calls everybody she knows who works at the Lululemon and is like, I need Jana's number. And that also has been used like evidence to say it wasn't premeditated, because she would have probably tried to get the number beforehand. But basically she calls everyone, somebody gives up the number, and Jana actually comes back to the store. When they get back to the store, I don't know if it's true or false, but I guess to give it a motive, they probably did get an argument over the shoplifting. That has been like, Brittany confronts her about it. This really angers Brittany. And that is when like Brittany like brutally like murders Jana.
But how does she get her? Did she tell her the smart trip silly thing?
Yeah. So that's the literal. So all of that is like true. So the whole thing about, so basically, but that's her alert to the store. So they can't find, remember, they don't find the smart trip. They never find it. So that is factor. The smart trip was probably never in the store. They probably got in the fight when they locked up. She probably sat there brooding and was like, nah, I'm gonna get her. And that's when she decided, let me call everybody I know, get the number, invite this woman back here. And I feel like she knew when she invited her back there, her whole plan was to do something to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is when, obviously, they're alone in the store. She brutally murders Jana, and then she actually does the whole thing and covers up the crime scene. So she basically, again, we don't know if she walked in there, put her hands in it, but she destroys the whole store. She, you know, hit this woman, stabbed this woman about 300 times, as well as she takes like the, and then this is what I said, one other thing police said is like when they found her, she was in a pool of blood. Mm-hmm. But once the doctors looked at her injuries, it doesn't make sense how she bled that much. Mm. She'd actually taken Jana's blood and like soaked up. They found paper towel. She had soaked up, and it was actually smeared. Yeah. So it was never a pool, but I guess the way she laid in it, or maybe the shock of it, they thought it was her blood, but she'd actually smeared it around and then lay herself in it till like morning. She like, this all happened at like 10 o'clock at night, and she laid her body in this. And she had, like I said, she had stepped around. Maybe she got panicked and was walking. And then she, like I said, she put her feet, hands in the shoes, and tried to make it all work. It's just a lot.
This is one of the most psychotic fucking stories I have ever heard. That's why when you said it, I was like, I already know. I was like, this shit is so crazy. Like, girl.
Yeah, when I heard it, I was like, it just, to me, still the motive. She asked everyone online, like, oh, she was like mentally ill, or like something was like really, really wrong with her. Like, she's an anger trick or whatever. Because it makes no sense. Like, if someone was like, yeah, Jay, I think you're stealing and I've been stealing, I would have just let my ass get fired. I probably would have like been like, you know, kicking and screaming the whole way down. But I'd be like, yeah, I knew it was stealing. And I would get fired, and I'd get fired. And it'd be my second time getting fired from Lululemon. But I wouldn't murder somebody over it. Like, 300. And like, even after it, police thought there were two men. The fact that in like 30 minutes, one woman inflicted 300 wounds, just the pulling out and stabbing, like the rate she would have had been grabbing and stabbing is insane.
Yeah.
Like she would have had, and obviously the woman is dead, but she kept going. Like it's gruesome.
Yeah, she's wild. I don't even, what she stabbed her with, the box cutter?
Like, there's everything. Like, there's multiple weapons used. Multiple weapons. Damn. Like, she switched it up. Like, she...
Because I'm trying to think. I'm like... Well, I guess it was just a fist fight at that point, huh? Or she probably blindsided her. It's probably what she
probably,
did.
Probably,
because if you're walking through the store, you're not expecting somebody to, like, I don't know, come at you with a fucking
and
box.
And she said the lights were off. So, I don't know, like, how it worked. But at one point, maybe she was already dead at this point, but the clump of her actually came because Brittany had dragged Jana to the back of the store.
Yeah.
So, and maybe they had gotten the tussle and she had placed the hair in her hand, but she actually was the one who was dragging her by her hair, like, to the back of the store. And that's how there were clumps of hair all throughout the store. So maybe she got her good once and dragged her back there. But if you remember, it was dark.
Yeah.
So she could have really, like, got her good, like, however she did it, but...
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, and that's basically, like, the whole truth that had happened. And then, like I said, then after she had committed the murder, she ran around the store to make it seem like a crime scene. She put the men's shoes on. She walked around. She also then inflicted the wounds on herself. Again, as we already knew, she zip-tied herself.
Mm.
And she basically soaked up Janet's blood, put it in the hallway, the bathroom, put it wherever to make it seem as if her own blood, and then she lay there for like 10, 12 hours.
Yeah. This woman is psychotic. All because you didn't want nobody to know you have been stealing t-shirts.
Yeah. Apparently it was leggings, but...
Stealing leggings.
Right, but it's like for
They work. Are expensive leggings,
man. Yeah, but apparently she came from a good home, so it was really just like some itchy head or something. Something's wrong with her. But she has a dark, dark anger, because even the stuff about like stalking the ex-boyfriend, it's really creepy. Like I said, I think they broke up, she got the restraining order, that she kept showing up. Like she
really, like at his house?
Yeah, like she really wouldn't let it go. I feel like she was like, she's always been like dangerous. I feel like she never attacked him. But, like, even all of that is just, like, really weird.
Nah, even that's, like, giving me the heebie-jeebies. Because I'm imagining, like, breaking up with, like, a woman and then, like, pulling up in my parking lot. And she's, like, sitting there. I'd be like, bitch, what the fuck?
But you had to get a restraining order. So she showed up before. Like, she showed up prior, wouldn't let it go. Can you imagine breaking up with somebody? And
showing up.
And she wouldn't let... Maybe that's why she ended up moving to D.C. But, like I said, I couldn't really find why she had moved. And even the whole college thing is, like, what? Like, why did she end up leaving the college? Like, her family didn't know. Like, it just all is really, I don't know, like, really, I don't know. She, like I said, I feel like she has something, like, mentally going on with her. But, yeah, but in January 2012, she actually, you know, the whole case went to trial. And she was found guilty, like, in less than an hour. So, they did the verdict. She was found guilty in a jury of her peers in Montgomery County. And she was sentenced to life imprisonment with no possibility of bail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she actually has requested a new trial. So in 2015,
girl, bye.
Yeah, so it was denied. But I don't know on what like grounds, but she was trying to get a new trial.
Has their family? Because I always wonder. I already know probably Janet's family is like, you know, they're upset. Obviously, you know, they're grieving. But has Brittany's family ever said anything about like? I don't know, like, just her, because it's, like, because if it's, like, what we're saying, okay, so she came from, like, a normal family, had a normal childhood, got you. So, to find out, maybe they didn't know, but to find out that your seemingly normal daughter is, like, actually a stalking murderer, it's, like, have they ever commented on that? Like, her brother, the one that they bought in? Because if they bought in her brother, they must be close.
Yeah, I think they all just said they were shocked and disappointed, right? Like, I think that, like, that's all I've found. I don't think that they advocate her innocence or anything like that. I think the family's just really shocked and disappointed, and people are saying, like, you know, they didn't even know she was capable of it, which is, like, weird, because I don't know if, like, her family was more estranged than they thought, or, like, maybe, like, more than they presented. Like, maybe her and the brother were close, but the family was estranged, because even, like I said, the fact that she got away with not graduating college, like, you know, being a black family, I don't know how the hell she got away with that.
That's what I'm saying. That would not fly.
So she might not have ever been that close, like I said. And then, yeah, like I said, and then she was all, like, she was apparently went to the college to play soccer. So, like, my mom would have consistently asked me about, like, how's that scholarship going? Like, how's soccer going? Like, how's that going? So they must have been, like, some type of estranged, but... Yeah, they all just say they're, like, disappointed in her, and that, like, you know, like, they've all, like, you know, said their piece about how they're, like, really sorry about, like, her actions, and they're sorry for the family, because it's actually really sad, but Jana's, parents actually tried to visit Brittany in the hospital, so when, when Brittany was in the hospital, they thought that she had, they thought she had severe wounds, so they bought flowers and everything, and were gonna go to the hospital, but she actually was released so quickly, they never got to visit her, so they made the assumption she'd be there for a while, and they actually were gonna visit her, and, like, check on her, and things like that, but again, she wasn't really hurt, so she wasn't really there that long, so the parents never did visit her, but they had all the intent to visit this young lady.
Wow.
Yeah,
even when their own daughter had already passed away, they still thought,
like, the same day, like, days later,
they still thought to think about her and go see her. And this bitch
lied and, like, again, people are like, she might have, like, psychological issues, because she did, like, say she felt bad and was, like, remorseful for her actions in trial, but again, apparently it wasn't that heartfelt, wasn't believable. People are like, yeah, obviously she said it because she doesn't want to go to jail forever, but it wasn't really that moving, and it really didn't give, like, remorse.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
this bitch is a whole fool. Like, when you said that, I was like, I remember this case. I didn't remember all those details, but I remember that case, and I just remember thinking how what was this on? This was on something.
It's on. It's
First 48. Yeah, they have a lot of.
It's on everywhere, bro. If you like, it's a very interesting case. There's a lot of podcasts about it. Please listen to it. It is insane.
It was one of the craziest things I have ever heard. And then she's talking about, oh, we moved the car. What you move the car for?
Yeah.
What you move the car for?
And I said, that just fucked up the whole timeline. She tried to outlie it and stuff like that. But
so you got your ass whooped. You got cut up. You got raped. You hopped in the car. You took her car to a parking lot. Why would you do that? You what you do?
After you been walked, raped and murdered.
Yeah, like, you walked back. What you do? I guess she probably said, then I just passed out in the bathroom. Girl.
Yeah people are weird because I feel like you have to be mentally ill. I feel like sometimes I think you get away with it, right? Because like she got the shoes from the store, walked around to them, moved the car, pulled her own zip ties, like, and then like I said, the pool of blood wasn't a real pool of blood. She barely cut herself. Like, I feel like, honestly, I feel like, swear to God, if you're going to commit, she should have literally cut herself an inch into her life.
Yeah.
Like, she should have gone to the hospital, critical care, and been like, you know, I'm either going to jail or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Or, I'm going to go free or I'm going to die. And she should have, like, cut herself an inch.
Slit your throat.
Yeah, she should have left a knife. She should have, like, left, like, a knife in her chest or something. Yeah. Like, she literally, because honestly, them little baby cuts, where do people think she's going to get
the little mix.
Where does she think I was going to get? She stabbed the girl 300 times, said, 1, 2, 3, 4 on me. And then laid down. I'm like, dumb. I said, she must be mentally ill. And I said, maybe her family's estranged and they never caught she was like mentally ill. But there are so many like red flags. Like,
people think, like I always say this, I'm like, some people do get away with murder, right? Some people do. But you have to be really, really smart to get away from murder, I think. Or just lucky. Some people just get fucking lucky. And there's people walking around who everybody knows they committed a murder, but they couldn't prove it. Looking at you, OJ Simpson. But they, most people who commit murders, you're not going to get away with that. Like, it's just too many small things. Like I said, even like the little teeth marks on the zip ties, like these little small details that you don't think about. I mean, you don't have the choice but to think about it because you're the one doing the zip ties. How else would you zip tie? But you have to
understand, they're
going to come back and they're going to see all these little small things that are not going to be adding up. So for you to think that you're going to get away with this is just
right. The body's crazy. There, like the body's there, you're there, like, and I feel like people never realize it. But when you make up suspects too, like, I feel like a lot of people get away with murder. They get away with it because they burn the body and they make, like, the body never gets
found. Ain't nobody. Yeah.
And they distance themselves from the crime. But like saying, like, I feel like every true crime episode where they find them, they're like, and then two men came in. But if you can never find those two men, there's no hint of them, there's no DNA, only your DNA is found around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but again, you just murder somebody. I feel like you're not even thinking straight to begin with. But, yeah.
Oh, Brittany.
Yeah. So.
Woo! But yeah, that Lululemon. Every time I see a Lululemon, I think about this. I'm not even gonna lie.
Same.
No lie. Every time I see, because I don't shop at Lululemon, because like we discussed, expensive as hell. I don't shop there, but every time I see a Lululemon, I think about this case, and I'm like, that's what they was up in there murdering people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they definitely moved the store, because I cannot imagine like trying to shop for leggings, and I'm like, somebody was murdered right here.
But that happened at a restaurant, Ryan. I'm gonna say.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't go in there.
I've been there since.
I don't go in there.
There was like a double at a restaurant, y'all. There was like a double homicide and attempted suicide.
Yeah,
at a restaurant near us, and they closed down, and then they opened back up. And it's in the same place.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you start really Googling death, there's been a lot of death places. So, but I'm going there.
But the nigga, from what I gather with that case, the nigga tried to kill himself and it didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm trash, but every time somebody does that, somebody tries to, like, commit a murder and then off themselves, but it doesn't work, I'd be laughing because I'm like, bitch.
Oh, yeah, because it's like,
you couldn't even.
No, because, like, you can't, like, I feel like you can't do that because, like, it obviously wasn't his time to go because the families need justice.
So I'm like, that's what you get.
Yeah, they don't want the consequences of their acts. And I'm like, I'm really sorry about that, but it's not going to go down like that.
Well, if it isn't the consequences of my actions.
Yeah, that happens not often, but I do hear stories where, like, and then they try to commit suicide and they're in the hospital and they wake up and then they have to go to trial.
Yeah, so. And you wake up in handcuffs.
Yeah.
With a bullet in your head.
Yeah.
Looking crazy. And it's like, that's what you fucking get. You try to escape the consequences. Right. And now you going to wake your ass up and go to
that
trial.
That's crazy though. But yeah, but this is a crazy case. Listen, if you enjoyed it, there's I think there's even like a movie, like, you know, Lifetime making remakes. There's like, I don't know if it's a full movie, but there's definitely a theatrical remake of this on Lifetime. So
the theatrical remake.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. Well, there's the case. Shout out to Jay. I like this one. Like I said, this one was, it sounds morbid to call a murder case fun. But this one is like one of those that's like so ridiculous. It's just like, girl.
Yeah.
What did you think he was going with this?
I think the whole investigation was like 6 days. So like in 6 days, they closed it and put a bow on it. Like they knew it was her in like 6 days.
Because it was so silly.
It was so poorly done. Like I said, the two guys, I feel like she probably saw those two guys all the time closing up and was like, yeah, two guys in black. And then they immediately were like, oh no, like that's us. Like we do this like every Friday. Like every, literally we work, you know, we work here. Like,
yeah, she just pulled from what she could think of in her head of who, like you said, who she would see walking, people she would see at her shift. And was like, oh, let me blame her, which is foul, by the way.
Right.
Like, how you gonna implicate me in a murder?
Yeah, because
I'm just trying to come and go for my my waitress and, or waiter job.
Yeah, luckily, I said, like, luckily, you know, because they actually did work there. They had, you know, a whole alibi and it wasn't them. But can you imagine if you didn't? Mm-hmm. And they had really like gone to trial and stuff like that. Yeah. And then imagine you do wear a size 14, right?
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, no. Like, they probably wouldn't. It's about,
yeah, that's foul. All right, Miss Brittany, you foul. Yeah. And you deserve to be in jail for the rest of your life.
She's still there today.
Aw, I feel bad for Jenna and her family.
Yeah, me too.
That's tragic. She was young too. That, they was trying to come see her and everything like that. So, but I'd be like, bitch, I would want to strangle her. Like, I'd be like, oh, you got me out here trying to bring me flowers and everything like that. That's just sad. All right, y'all. Well, we are Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. like we mentioned at the beginning, I'm going to get this up. I'm going to figure out what the technical difficulty is.
Okay,
and we're going to get... Jade, have faith in me.
I don't do that stuff.
Yeah, Jay doesn't do
that. Because like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, like that sucks. But I'm like, I don't know.
Jay was like, that's a Taylor problem.
Yeah.
No. I'm gonna figure it out. It's gonna be fine. So if, like I said, if y'all hear this, you might hear this, and then a few other things with it too. Yeah. A few other episodes with it too. But enjoy. Maybe you can binge on your work day or whatever. So yeah, we're Cognac Conspiracies on Instagram. We're cognacconspiracies@gmail.com, and we will see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.